Let's just
online magazine.
Yes.
And then our regular, our legal advisor, went through an exam last time.
Hi guys. This is Von.
And you've started teaching.
Yes, I've started teaching sa isang school sa Makati.
And then here's Dea.
Yes, day by day, Daphne by night.
Oh,
awesome. Yeah.
How about my dust? Yes. Okay, and then Alan.
Hi, this is Alan.
Alan is blinding today, wearing gold. Yeah. Did you buy that in Saudi?
No. Chaka-chak market in Bangkok.
It's gold, right?
Yes.
I'm not imagining. A subject that even if you didn't think you were an expert about it, you know well, because you live here. And Bonnie and I thought about doing this taking on this particular topic because we both saw the Fyre Festival documentaries, and then there have been a lot of articles about how this is the scam season in the U.S. with Veranos, with a Fyre Festival, with Anna Delvey. And then recently the New Yorker had that wonderful article about the author of The Woman in the Window, whose pseudonym is A.J. Finn, but he's really an editor named Dan Mann. And it turns out that he is the real talented Mr. Ripley. Although in that case, it's technically not a crime, right?
Yes.
All he did was lie.
Yes.
With advantage, but he lied. He's not into Oxford by telling them sob stories. My parents are dying, my brother has died or something. And then when they check, years later, because nobody thinks to check, everyone's alive and happy.
Yeah.
And I think he would have continued like this for many years, except that his book became a number one bestseller. So he has to give talks. And when you give talks, you know, you give one version and then another version, and people can compare versions, and then you have to be out there.
Yeah.
Although apparently he was already well known within the publishing industry as a fabulist. As in, his book was put up for auction among the publishing houses, and so it was anonymous. And when it was revealed that the author was Dan Mallory, many of the publishing houses dropped out because they had that experience with him. But the publishing company that where he is employed as an editor stayed on, and so the joke is, the call came from inside the house.
Yeah.
But then, you know, something like that, is that a scam?
Yeah, it's not a scam in the sense that you can take legal action, I guess. It depends. But I think the publishing house, I don't think the publishing house which got the book rights can really claim that they were fooled. I don't think... It's very hard. So it's not a scam in the sense that he will go to jail. But it is possible that you can sue him for civil liability. Meaning if you feel like he lied and then you lost money over it or something, then you can probably... Or he got... For example, he got to Oxford and Oxford feels that that's... that's a position that should have gotten to some... That should have been,
I guess the reason they don't sue is because they feel kind of embarrassed.
Embarrassed
now,
about
God,
it.
I got fooled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that. There's that part. And also, I think maybe it's not worth it because it's been so long. And then it wasn't like he was not a good student. It wasn't like... It was just his way of getting in. And also, there's this article kasi nga, diba, of people using suffering.
Exactly.
As a way
to do
things. Yes. And it's legitimate, ha? Kasi when I was thinking of taking my master's abroad,
were you going to feed them a sob story?
No. I was given advice that I should give them a sob story, so play up certain aspects of my life. I never really got... I never got my master's. Pero, ano, it's a real thing. It's a real thing sa academic community.
So, you mean when I write applications, I was bullied mercilessly in high school, you know. And so you should trade on your traumas.
Apparently, if you have no one, no. If you have no, I mean, it's. I don't. Okay. Yes, it's horrible, and I think it should be. You know, it should disappear as a concept. Pero does it work? Apparently it works. I mean, most of the time, what happens? Pa, okay, Filipinos who apply to say places like Harvard or Oxford. They will play up the being Filipino. They will play up the being in a third world country. They will play up being scholars or growing up poor or just so it differentiates them from other students. And then usually they get scholarships because of those things.
So, how many people saw the Fire Festival documentary?
Me.
I
saw the Netflix one.
The one on Netflix.
So fascinating. I saw the Hulu one where Dylan McFarland was interviewed, and I think they paid him for the interview. And what impressed me was how lost he looked, and also how he didn't strike me as being the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know what I'm saying? And if he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, what does that say about the thousands of people that he scammed using only social media, as in literally social media, and also by triggering people's FOMO?
Yes. True. Yes, correct. And it was not a particularly sophisticated scam.
Yes.
It was literally just buy this ticket and it'll throw you a party, except the party doesn't exist.
Yeah. They were selling a dream for most people.
Actually, you know,
that's what they said. Party that's with supermodels and rock stars. And swimming with pigs, which I think was an attraction.
Uh-huh. I think consistent with what you're saying, Billy wasn't a particularly smart person. I don't see how he could not have foreseen that this was not going to go well.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was a disaster waiting to happen. Eh. The party did not exist. And people paid thousands of dollars to get there. So,
I want to know, why did they pay thousands of dollars? As in, nobody thought, I think I'll Google this island and see what's on it. Are there villas?
Maybe the marketing. With scams, you have to have charisma in the first place. And number two, you're playing on the dreams of a person, the aspirations. And if you play that up, and plus you give them a certain sense of urgency, then they take
it's like, buy
it.
Now, or else you run out of places.
Yes. The urgency, the charisma, plus the dreams. This you're presenting a vision. So this vision will be yours if you get it right now.
Basically a cult for the new
No, yeah. You know, I think they're not smart as a general proposition, but they are brilliant at marketing.
Yes. Salesmen. And the what's really impressive is that social media marketing company, Fuck Jerry.
Yes.
Is apparently notorious for stealing.
It's another story, naman, Fuck Jerry. Yeah.
What do you know about that?
Well, because there's a campaign going on right now about how you mentioned Fuck Jerry is basically. They're getting content from all of these people and they're rehashing it and then presenting as their own and they're making money off of it. So it's there's nothing really original about Fuck Cherry except maybe it's marketing.
Yeah, and since their power is based on the fact that they have 50 million followers, all it takes for them to use this power is for those 50 million people to unfollow
them.
Yes,
that's so
true.
So there's campaign. I don't know if it's going to work.
Also, but there's FOMO nga. So, it's very hard to get 15 million people to unfollow someone when no one would be... And then when you're part of the first people who unfollowed and you missed out on it, then... So, it's very weird. I mean, social media just made things really, really...
Why do people have them here?
Yeah, have you seen that egg? That world record?
Yeah.
9 million likes.
Full disclosure, I liked
the
because
and 1 million followers.
Like a big finger to what you're doing.
Yes.
Okay, wait. So suppose your egg gets 10 million likes. What is it, what's in there for you? apart from your 10 million likes? Because likes, they're just likes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's so.
Will you make money off it?
I don't think it's as true in the Philippines because I don't know if we're smart that way or we're just not evolved enough that way. But in the States, kasi, it's so easy to monetize likes and followers because there's this rule in venture capitalism, which is basically you grow big enough, but and parang profits will figure it out later. But if you grow big enough and people know you enough, people will fund you. But no one really understands yet how they're going to make money off of it.
It goes back to Terranos.
Yes.
They were basically selling a non-existent technology.
Yeah.
Yes, and venture capitalists threw money at Elizabeth Holmes.
Yes, Holmes.
To the tune of $9 billion.
Yeah.
What does it take to get a single billion?
Yeah.
Right. Much less nine.
$9 billion. It's really smart marketing, I think, because Elizabeth Holmes, she was brilliant at marketing. She parang siya pa sa ingenue, scientific genius, and she's none of those. She's none of those things. And I think anyone daw, because if you read the history of that product, everyone who knows anything about blood knows that you cannot get that information from a drop.
From a drop,
you
yes.
cannot get that information from a drop. Pero businessmen thought na ano, because she looked pretty, she spoke well, it seemed like she knew what she was doing. So I think most of the people invested here did not do their due diligence.
Yes, and also they were, I think, fooled by the black turtleneck because it's like
yes.
she's wearing a black turtleneck. Therefore, she must be the daughter of Steve Jobs.
She's the Steve Jobs of the medical field.
which reminds me, does anybody watch HBO Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
a spoof of how Silicon Valley works. And
yeah.
At first I thought, oh, this is a comedy. And then you realize, no, this is really the way they operate.
Yes.
I think I heard somewhere that it's really one of the more accurate portrayals of what goes on in Silicon
exactly.
Valley that
and
shows.
And then you've got your character, Ehrlich, who believes that, you know, there's got to be an asshole in this enterprise. You know, they're naming people like Steve Jobs and all the other people who made billions, and
yeah.
so I would be that asshole. All that is this thing where they look down on people who finish college because only the dropouts.
Billionaires. So but stupid.
The one that really, I think, is very familiar to a lot of Pinoys is the whole Annabelle B.
Yes. Well, I'll take a crack at it.
Okay.
Well, Anna Delvey is basically this girl who lived in this boutique hotel in New York, and everyone thought, like the New York elite thought that she was a German heiress.
I thought that New Yorkers had a higher
intelligence.
Cynicism.
Oh, but basically, what they learned was that she was basically this poor person from the province, a Russian immigrant. And what she was doing was she was getting loans from banks, and then using the loans she was doing, the money she was getting from those loans to spend for high end stuff and to kind of like propagate the idea that she was wealthy. So basically, it was like a multi level marketing scam, except it was just her persona. And then I think the funny thing about it was a lot of people who should have known better fell for it.
Yes.
They were just assuming, and she was always just saying the reason why she can't pay is because the money is abroad and it's always tied up.
And
the bank transfer is late. And I think because she was giving money so in large amounts so willingly, people assumed that she should be wealthy. I think, ako personally, and I don't really know, I don't think she thought of herself as a scam artist. I think she really legitimately thought that she would become
rich.
Because she was trying to kickstart that business, right?
Yeah.
That art club thing. Named after the Anna Delvey Foundation.
Yeah.
He also takes out of ego.
And what's impressive about that story is how easy it is to fool people who should have known better.
Yeah.
Like, you see someone dressed from head to foot in designer labels who always picks up the bill and has a personal trainer who seems to be at her beck and call. then they immediately believe. Doesn't anyone ask, like, are titas doon na saan yun ang galing? Sino ma- kamag-anak niyan? Because
yes.
The great thing about having titas is they always have one eyebrow raised.
Yes.
Yes.
And they want to know saan ang galing yan, you know, sinong magulang yan, etc., etc.
Maybe it's because it's New York.
Where there are no titas.
No, no, no. And also, and also there's the idea that I think they're more showy about wealth. I mean, they're more accepting.
Yeah.
It's not an old rich city in the
but
same
this
way.
Is a, really, this is a relatively new thing. I think it started with the Yuppies, but before that, it's like, it was not. You were not supposed to show off.
Oh, yeah.
People were a little more discreet. But beginning in the 80s,
with
yes,
rappers,
yes.
With other rappers who like
flaunt
rap
their wealth.
Yes,
flaunt their wealth.
Sure. The arc is the beginnings of Donald Trump.
Yeah, correct.
It's timed with the beginnings of the tacky rich people because they used to be tasteful rich people.
Yeah.
Now the beginning of the tacky
yeah.
rich.
And it's IG. It's social media. Everyone needs to. I mean, if you're wealthy and no one knows it. Are you really wealthy?
would that scam have worked here? I'm curious.
That scam not only would have worked here, but it works all the time.
It works
yes.
all the time.
As in, how many times have we read about people absconding with other people's money and all they did was make promises?
Yeah.
I think because Ronnie mentioned it that in the Philippines, we're particularly prone to scams because we value diskarte.
Yeah.
We value things like diskarte and habilidad. And when you slice it thinly, basically they're forms of shadiness.
Yes.
And you want to go from the bank diskarte.
So because if you're not ma diskarte in the Philippines, it's basically about survival. Like we face a lot of calamities here. We face a lot of flooding. Earthquakes, storms, you name it, we have it.
Yeah.
We even
poverty,
have
yeah.
volcanoes, we're in the Ring of Fire. So
yeah.
if you're not discarding, like they're giving away food to the people for so rescue things.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a long, long line of people, and if you go to your family, mo, why not be madiskarte and
cut the line?
Because if you don't cut the line, it's one more hour of being hungry.
No, I guess also what it says is we don't see ourselves as kind of one community. It's like I have to look out for my family, as in, or else my family will die. I think a warped version of this is the reasoning for corruption.
Yeah.
So, as in, government officials will say, well, I have to take care of my family, so...
And jumping off from that point, some people will actually accept that as justification. So they will think that that politician or that person is not that bad a person.
Yeah, because he's doing it for his
family. Yeah.
He's doing it for his province. And that's what Marcos did with Ilocos. Look how he enriched the Ilocos region to the extent that he robbed the other regions blind.
So it's a cultural thing, you know, this attraction to and tendency to get taken in by
yeah.
scams. Mm-hmm. And PJ, you mentioned smaller scale scams that we come across on a daily basis.
Yeah, I just read this the story about you know those Dead Sea stalls
beauty
products and malls. There was a one story came out in an online magazine that said it's actually a scam because these stalls would accost unsuspecting customers in malls, and then they would
mostly
basically
women who are walking by themselves
looking lost, and
why
they would basically
look lost. I'm like, get out of my face.
And they would basically force you to buy all of these products.
Yeah,
and
because they use attractive, tall,
foreign-looking, like white men, mostly. But I mean, when you look at it, it's not really. You don't see it as a scam because it's, you know, they're trying to sell you something. But then when I read the story, it turns out that they try to attract you with discounts or something like that. And then eventually, when you see your bill, it's like double or triple what they promised that they were going to charge you. So now I think there's a pending case on with the DTI about all of these Dead Sea fashion beauty stores. Plus, there's also that issue that most of these people, or the foreigner types, most of them were Israelis, don't even have like a working visa or permit to work here in the Philippines. So that's, you know, that's a whole other issue.
Which reminds me that in the 90s, if you went walking in Mega Mall on the fifth floor, there would always be these people say, "Do you have a credit card? Do you have a credit card?" And then, you know, swipe it and offer you like umbrella. Like, "Are you? Do I look insane? Why would I give you my credit card?" But a lot of people fell
for it.
Yeah. Because they get the free umbrella.
Yeah, I thought you, but you have to sit through some kind of seminar.
Seminar, yes. Yeah.
Plus, they do hard sell. If you don't get taken in by the hard sell, then they insult you. Like, why are you not doing this for your family? Like, are you hard?
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
They do. If they had tried that on me, I would have punched someone in the
yeah. That's why they started using an open-minded kaba.
I'm so disappointed in that open-minded kaba. Because I thought they were offering, I don't know, four songs. It turns out that that's it. I'm so disappointed. I am disappointed in you people.
Because these multi-level hotels, a lot of them post on Facebook like they have, "I bought this car, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to be rich like me?"
And they will show you checks.
They will show you checks.
Yeah, or cash.
Yeah.
Or cash.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. How do you detect a scam? What legally is a scam?
Well, it's a lot of things. But basically, I think primarily it would be when someone offers something and it's not what they offered, then it's a scam.
But that's called life.
Sometimes it's called dating on an app.
No. Of course, a scam kasi is anyways a lot of things and it's not really the legal term. So it could be a estafa, meaning
so
someone's stealing.
Grinder, everything you
it's a scam.
Those people don't go like their pictures.
Yeah, right.
Ouch.
It would be funny though if someone actually went to court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can
you
be
the best case?
Maybe, you know, actually, it might be, it can actually be actionable, let's say, if you're from the States, and then you fly to the Philippines, because you thought you were meeting this, yeah.
What if you just went out on like a blind date?
I'm guessing you can actually claim like 5 pesos. I don't know. not worth the effort, but.
Which leads back to the story of our friend, which is, you know, kind of tragicomic because she met some Japanese guy on a dating app. And then they meet, and he's kind of cute, so she can overlook the fact that they had to speak by app, as in by passing a phone, because he spoke no English and he speaks no Japanese. And then, you know, she was willing to make a go of it, and then he tried to sell her Amway. Basically, if people you have not heard of in many, many years suddenly are very eager to meet you for coffee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that why you're here? Is that why you're here?
Are you
Are you not in
part? Suddenly open minded, ka ba tayo? No, but I think one of the biggest na signs, for me specifically, is if a person is too showy with their wealth.
Exactly.
That's usually a giant red flag for me.
Those money, they're taking pictures.
And not
phone.
Even that. It can be a little bit more subtle. Like, their car is like ridiculously expensive and they always wear expensive clothes. Because I've worked with a lot of very wealthy people and most of the time...
DJ!
We were Ferrari the other day.
Can I just say that's for work?
You're a Ferrari.
Not a scam.
How does it feel?
on a smaller scale, Alan travels a lot, and when he arrives, he has pasalubong for all of us. At one point, okay, they weren't super mild, but he brought me 6 t-shirts. I'm like, Alan, this is a big one.
16? 6 naman.
6
t-shirts. Okay,
16. What do you walk to?
Yeah, exactly, di ba? At some point, you think na parang what's going to be the payment? Subsequently.
It probably is.
Although I think so, Philippines, if you really have the, if you lack the the humanity for it, it's fairly easy, I think, to scam people. Because you basically act like you're wealthy but not from here.
Yeah.
So that would answer all yung lack of information regarding your family.
You can get away with acting wealthy here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because
even like, exactly, even like buildings, if you just wear something, you can get past security guards if you just start, speaking in English.
Yeah.
A friend gave me a really horrible piece of advice, which is always for it. Because I always complain, when I go into a building, all these IDs and whatnot, and then he says, kasi pag ininis ka ng driver o kaya guwadra, inglisin mo. And I'm sorry to say it works.
Yeah, it does work.
They have to speak rapid English and they kind of get this look and then they back off.
Yeah.
Also, do this.
No, alam mo.
Personally, they can't see that in a podcast.
Yeah,
I was thinking to see that. It's good advice.
So when they, when they attempt to rummage through your bag, look down your nose and say,
"Okay,
than you." And then they let you go, actually.